Hi, everyone, and welcome to Book Hype, episode number 145. Today, we're going to be doing a little bit of a news episode to get you caught up on everything that's been going on, because a couple of pretty big stories have broken recently, and they're definitely discussion-worthy. My name is Karen, and as usual, I'm joined by Brittany and Kristen. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
If you would like to find us on Twitter, you can do that at BookHype or Facebook.com/HypeableBooks. And we're also on Goodreads as Hypeable Books. And as usual, we're going to kick this off with what we've been reading lately. And of course, Kristen has a million titles, so we're just going to have her kick off first.
Sure, why not? Again, audiobooks are awesome. I recently was... I got like a recommendation through one of my Facebook readers groups. I'm pretty sure it was The Locker Room. So you go, ladies, to read the Walsh series by Kate Canterbury. It's not sports related, but someone was looking for non-sportsy books. This series follows the Walsh family, and they are all the main group of kids in the family. They're all architects, and they have their own firm in Boston, and they are all restoration experts, so they all restore homes together. One of the members of the family, Shannon, is not an architect, but she works for the firm. She's their real estate agent, and she basically does all of the stuff that the architects don't do. But the series is fantastic. I listened to the audiobooks last week at work, and I just like mainlined them, like one after another after another. And the first one is really great. It's called Underneath It All, which kicks off everything. But every book from then on overlaps with the other books. So you'll read a scene in that story from that person's point of view. And then in the next book, you'll get another piece of the picture because you'll have seen it from someone else's point of view. And you're like, oh, like, okay. It was a really interesting way to read a series, and I really, really loved the way she did it. She was very thorough. You can tell she kept very specific notes about what happened in each scene and how it happened, and yeah, very, very well done. My favorite book in that series, though, is The Cornerstone. You kind of need to read them in order for it all to make sense, but The Cornerstone is so good, and that's Shannon's book, and it just, it's hysterical. She meets this, I believe he's a Navy SEAL who is insane, and he's related to one of the other characters in the book. And yeah, it's just, they're so funny. They text back and forth throughout the book, and their text conversations are hysterical, and he is just, honest to God, I think he's the top of my book boyfriend list from now on, because he is just amazing. But anyway, I read a lot of books this week, too. I read Rebel by Rebecca Yarros, and my review should be going up either tomorrow, soon. It'll be going up soon. And you definitely need to read that book, especially if you've read Wilder Nova, which I've talked about before. This is the last book in the Renegade series, and it was a fantastic conclusion, and it might be my favorite. I also read Ready to Run by Lauren Lane. My review is already on Hypeable, so feel free to check that out. It's a great story. It's Lauren Lane. You can't go wrong. And last but not least, I made sure to add this one. It's called Skin by Kylie Scott. It's one of her first books. And this is the one about zombies. Yeah. I finally found the audiobook at the library, and I got very excited about this because it takes place in the zombie apocalypse. And it wasn't exactly what I expected, but it's a really interesting place to set a romance, man, because it's all about this guy who saw this woman who was living at a school with a group of survivors, and he saw that they didn't respect her and that they were, like, dazed from, you know, treating her poorly, whether it meant, like, leaving her on her own or molesting her or something. Like, he just kind of saw that they were treating her terribly, and so he makes a deal with the leader of the group to trade for her, to kind of prove to her that they were going to treat her terribly. And from then on, like, it becomes this whole scenario where she feels like, she's a hostage, but she's not really, because he was trying to save her life, and they battle, and it's this whole thing. But it is actually really great. There's a second book in the series that I haven't read yet called Flesh. And once I read that, I'll have the whole picture, but it was really good. And Tylee Scott, you can't really go wrong. So if you're looking for something a little Halloween-y, give Skin and or Flesh a try.
That sounds like it would be right up my alley, actually.
Yeah, you'd probably like it.
Cool. What about you, Brittany?
Well, I went back to the beach today, so that means that I'm still on my Philip Pullman kick, and I finished The Subtle Knife within, like, you know, an hour of being there, which was really disappointing because I didn't think that I would actually be reading it, because I thought, you know, maybe someone would want to talk to me when we were on the beach, but no one did, so I finished really. And yeah, it's so great, and I really want to start the final one tonight, but I have other things I need to get done. So I'm going on vacation in a week. So hopefully, or 2 weeks. So hopefully I'm just going to pack one bag that's just all books. I'm going to go to the library and clean them out and just read the whole time.
That sounds amazing.
You know, the 3 and 4 year old want to play, in which case I will put the book down. Actually bond with my family, but
reluctantly.
Example, no one wants to bother me on the beach. So.
Nice. Well, I did start All Rights Reserved by Gregory Scott Katsoulis, and it's pretty good so far. I want to get a little further into it before I say too much about it, but the beginning right now is so interesting because it's basically about a society that isn't as far-fetched as you think it is. They have to pay, they all wear these things called a cuff. And they have to pay for all the words they speak because everything's been patented, and they have to pay for all the gestures they make, except for like a select few. At one point she's like, crying is free unless you make a sound, and they can do like a couple of things that are totally free, and certain words are very cheap, and they kind of have to cut down on their words to make sure they can afford it, because everybody's, not everybody, but definitely a huge portion of the population is super poor because of all of this. And the main character decides that when she is meant to, you can talk freely until you're 15. And when you turn 15, you have to read a speech, and that kind of cements everything. And then from there on, you have to pay for it all, pay for all the words and gestures you make. And she decides to stay silent. And she doesn't mean it as a protest, except that's sort of what it turns into. So kind of like a Katniss thing, you know, she never really meant to start a revolution, but that's what she ended up doing anyway. And I'm not very far into it yet, but it's pretty good, pretty interesting. And I don't know, they talk about they have to consume so many ads a month, and they have like one wall of their house is basically a giant TV screen, and they have to sit down and play it or like watch the ads and everything. And it's just like, it seems far-fetched because it's so big and over the top. But then again, like, think of all the ads we consume and the way that we talk and the way that we use social media. It just seems a little more relevant than I'd care to admit. So I'm interested to see how it all plays out.
That still just sounds so cool. Like the, you know, the whole like paying by the word thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely want to check that out eventually.
And by cool, I hope you mean awful, because.
Well, yeah, but like the whole concept sounds fascinating. Basically. Yeah.
Can you imagine though, as writers, to be like, no, like you can't afford to say what you really want to say.
Yeah. That would be insane.
It's awful.
Yeah. Every time I hear this concept, I think about the Justin Timberlake movie.
Yeah. I still haven't seen that, but
it's like, it's interesting. It's not the best movie ever, but it's an interesting idea, and it's just, you know, it's original, it's new. And so, yeah, this makes me think of that every time. So cool.
Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview last week. It was a lot of fun to put together, but we're back to our usual little categories here on Book Hype. So we're going to kick off another deal of the day, which is where Kristen tells us what sort of Amazon deals we can get and which books we can maybe get for free or super cheap. So take it away.
Yes. Usually I try and find a YA title and a romance title because, you know, that's how it's my jam. But I had a little trouble finding a YA title that was on sale this week. I'm sure it'll make up for it in the future, so stick around if you're looking for those. But the series I talked about, the Walsh series, the first book, Underneath It All, is free on Amazon. So if you're at all interested in checking it out, yeah, definitely go grab it. I think it's free all the time. I don't think it's actually on sale, but you can't go wrong with a free book. I mean, come on. So definitely check that one out. And since that one was free, my second book is a little more expensive. Usually I try to keep it to a dollar or two. This one's $3, but you cannot go wrong with Rookie Move by Serena Bowen. It's fantastic. I read it. I loved it. I know I talked about it on here. And if you know anything about Serena Bowen, you know that she's fantastic. And this book is just, it's really, really well done.
Cool. Thank you. I definitely just downloaded Underneath It All because
yeah,
it's free. Like what? You can't go wrong there. So
you can't go wrong with free. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll probably stay on my Kindle for a year, but you know, that's how it works.
The number of books that are sitting on my Kindle because I got them for free, I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and jumping into Book Bites now, this one is very relevant to our news section, which you will find out why in a second. But Brittany, you're the one that came up with this, and I think it's a fantastic question, and I'm actually really interested to see what you guys have to say about it.
Yeah, so this week's Book Bites, to no one's surprise, shouldn't be a surprise, is bestseller list. Do you pay attention to that? And does it make you want to buy books more? Because, you know, you get a John Green book, which I'm sure Turtles All the Way Down, the cover was designed to leave room for the number one New York Times bestseller sticker that's going to go on it.
Goodness.
Yeah. So I'm wondering just like, do those stickers matter to you guys? Do when you see them, are you like, oh, I should read this book because it's on the New York Times bestseller? Or do you just randomly find out about it later? Because I know that I personally do not know any books that are on the New York Times bestseller unless they're by an author that I follow on Twitter and they take a screenshot of the list when it comes out. And they're like, hey, I made the list. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I kind of like look around to see what else is on there. But the only other time that I've had experience with the New York Times bestseller list, and this is because it was part of my job in high school, because I worked at a library, I had to cut it out every week on Monday morning and put it in this little plastic thing and where it would sit over the new releases. So then I'd have to like highlight the ones that we had copies of in the library. So that was really my only other true exposure to the New York Times bestseller list, besides now seeing like Chris Colfer on it every week, and then John Green's books ultimately always stay on it. Rainbow Rowell's always on it. So I personally don't take it to mean anything. I mean, if I pick up a book, an older book or something, and it has it on it, I'm like, oh, well, this book came out in 1995, so I guess it was really popular with the crowd in 1995. But as for like current influences, I'm not looking it up every week to see who is on the list. And I guess that's a good thing because, like we'll talk about, it wouldn't influence me buying this book.
Yeah. I mean, usually I don't pay much attention. You know, when an author that I read, again, is on Twitter and takes a picture of it and is like, hey guys, look what I did, you know, look where my book is. Like, that's always exciting. But I don't really like search out the bestseller list unless I'm looking for like a YA story that I really want to read and I don't know which one, like if I'm in the mood for YA and I don't know what, sometimes then I'll go to like the USA Today list or the New York Times list and just see what's super popular and I'll pick one off of there, you know, just to see what people are reading and like what is going to be talked about and that sort of stuff. But I don't search it out very often.
Yeah, I have to say that, Brittany, I'm pretty much the same way as you. I basically know when Rick Ryan's on the New York Times bestseller list, because when is he not? Let's be real. But he talks about it every so often, like, hey, just hit 10 weeks or just hit 26 weeks or something like that. And I usually notice that. But other than that, I really don't pay attention to it. I know some people do, and I know that it's still quite, you know, exciting to get on those lists, but it just has no influence. I get a lot of my book recommendations from friends, from word of mouth, and just kind of seeing what's popular these days. And my circles aren't always the ones that necessarily end up on the New York Times bestseller list. Sometimes it crosses over, which is pretty cool. But yeah, it doesn't really have a huge influence on me, which I think is interesting, because that is still quite a standard of measurement for book sales and popularity.
And apparently library recommendations. Pretty sure, yes. If I walked into my library now, they'd still have that piece of paper.
Well, the reason why this is so relevant right now is because, all right, this, if you guys haven't heard about this yet, where the heck have you been? But it's quite a tale. It's quite an interesting tale. So there's this book called Handbook for Mortals, and it's by Lani Sarem. I don't know if that's how you say her name, but it got onto the New York Times bestseller list, and all of a sudden, the number one spot, actually, and all of a sudden, people are like, what is this book? Literally, what is this book? Nobody's heard of it before. Like, very, very few people had copies of it. The bloggers who are usually on top of all the new releases, especially the ones that make it to the New York Times bestseller list, didn't have a copy of it. How the heck did it end up there? And when I was reading up on this briefly, apparently it takes about 5,000 copies to be sold for you to kind of be able to hit the New York Times bestseller list. And I think that's within the first week, because it is weekly. And yeah, they're like, okay, so where are those 5,000 copies? And it turns out that perhaps the publisher bought those copies and were holding on to them or something.
Well, they were calling New York Times reporting, like Barnes and Noble's, and were ordering as many copies as they could before it fell under like the corporate guidelines, which don't necessarily count toward the New York Times bestseller list count. Like, if you order a certain number for your business or whatever, they don't necessarily count all of those toward the 5,000. Yeah, so, like, if that number was 80... Like
30 or something at a time.
Right. So, if that number was 80 at that store, they'd order 79. If that order number was 30, they'd order 29. And they were, like, putting these orders in and then saying... and then the Barnes & Noble would say, we don't have them in stock. And they'd say, it's not a problem. Send them when you got them. So they were quote unquote purchased, but the books don't actually like exist. Like the story exists, but Barnes & Noble doesn't have them in stock.
Yeah. So like the orders now they weren't going to be able to be fulfilled. And there were, so it really, like what ended up happening was upon further investigation, first of all, Phil Stamper really cracked this open and started the whole, like, got literally the entire YA community on Twitter on top of this and unpacked it all and got the New York Times' attention to take care of it. And there were twists and turns, and it was like a really great afternoon to be on Twitter and to have friends who are interested in the book world and publishing, because the group messages were just, they were so great. But what happens is, so there's this gaming company, well, not a gaming company, a company that tends to buy a lot of, like, their sole purpose is to bulk buy, and you hire them in order to get your game to be popular or whatever. And they employed them to do the same thing for this book, and a representative from, this was an update like a few days ago, even later than when this started breaking. And the whole point of them doing this was to, technically this isn't illegal, by the way, you can do this. And normally when stuff like this happens, the number one New York Times bestseller will put an asterisk on there and write an explanation for why it's on, like, it is number one, but it's due to X, Y, and Z purchasing, whatever. That wasn't happening with this because, like Kristen was saying, they were flying just under the radar of having this done. And if you looked on these like indie seller sites, it would have like, you know, 19,000 copies on hold, whereas like new books that were coming out that were like super popular, like a James Patterson novel, had like 5,000. So something was clearly wrong. But the reason that she was doing this was apparently because it was tied to a negotiation for a movie adaptation. And if they could prove the buying power of this novel and purchasing power of the fans attached to it and whatnot, then, and it debuted on the New York Times bestseller list, then, you know, the movie rights would come through with the author in the leading role.
Mm.
That's another important point.
Mm-hmm.
This just blows my mind, because if they had taken the time to market this book properly, well, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have mattered. We'll get into that in a second. But say the book was actually decent. If they had taken the time to market it properly and get word out about the book, it very well could have hit the bestsellers list on its own. And there would have been a fan base there when the movie actually got made. The idea that they were trying to cut corners doesn't even make sense in the long run, because nobody's going to know what this book is and nobody's going to go see the movie. It would make much more sense to kind of build that foundation the right way, because it's going to be much more profitable later on.
Yeah, and this is where my favorite part of this whole story happens. Blues Traveler gets involved, the band Blues Traveler, because this author was their manager, like, or touring manager involved with the band and somehow, and they basically tweeted saying, like, we're not surprised by this at all. It's a little weird, and her sense of denial is staggering. And they said, I must say that she is keen to never miss a trick. So this is her deal. This is how she works. And apparently Jackson Rathbone, who was in the Twilight movies and also in the band 100 Monkeys, backed them up saying, spot on, like, this is how she works. She was also their manager. So that this is how this author works. And I don't think that anything that you could have, like, there's cutting corners and just making the deal and getting it done and done quickly and in the wrong way was the way she took it. And there was another update, because I haven't checked this, the thread about this in like a day or two. And there's another great update. Result Source is the group who, you know, they purchase for like pre-sales and, like, you know, make the high sale numbers happen. So they found out that the cover artist who was commissioned to do this book mocked his cover directly off of a print by Gildemace. And so what happened is obviously YA Twitter went out and asked the artist who did the book about it. And he said, no, when I signed on to do it, I was told that they were going to give credit to the original artist and, you know, all this stuff. Like, the covers look exactly, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. The covers look, it's clearly inspired by, just loosely say, dripped off of this piece. And they reached out to the manager and attorney of Gildemace and our agent, and they were like, nope, we were never contacted about this piece, and as far as we know, no acknowledgement is given to the artist or our agency. So that's just another thing in with this book. It's never ending. And she's at a convention right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying before, I would not show my face if all of this was going down.
I know.
Like, it's one thing to try to get away with it, which kind of makes you a pretty crappy person, but then, like, not, like, feeling justified in everything that you've done and not caring about the way, like, there's no future for her now. Like, it's ruined. Like, her reputation is gone because of all of this. And I don't know if she's that arrogant or if she just doesn't understand that that's the case now.
Do you think that this will, I don't know how to phrase it. Do you think people will now buy the book because of this bad publicity? Do you know what I mean? Like, just out of sheer interest.
I think some people are going to be interested in it. I bet you there's going to be a lot of illegal downloads, but to actually buy it, probably not. Like, think of how many illegal downloads there are of 50 Shades of Grey. And I mean, that's a legit book, like, not necessarily putting these two things in the same category, but a lot of people were interested in how bad that book was based on the reputation, and therefore a lot of them were going to the internet to try to find copies of it for free because they didn't want to spend money on something that's terrible. I see the same thing happening here.
Yeah, and speaking of illegal downloads, we have a screenshot of the foreword. And I just want to read this gem. It's like, it's probably my favorite thing that I've ever read in my life because it just makes me feel better that it's actually not great. So, first of all, the first line is just magic. Something that has fascinated the world since the beginning of time. Okay, good writing. The ability to do things that the mortal mind simply cannot comprehend. It cannot be explained by science or the rational mind. Therefore, it must be supernatural or magic. I've known Lanny, which I will tell you how I know how to pronounce that, with the following paragraph. That's Lanny Serim for a few years now. It's Lanny, or as she would say, Annie with an L, just in case you were also wondering. So this is how you say the author's name. Because the person who wrote this forward is really close with her.
Hermione, yeah.
Yeah. Just to clarify, though, at first I wasn't even sure of the pronunciation of her name. It was Lainey or Lani. In subsequent years, I've learned how to pronounce her name, and throughout our friendship, I've also learned that she's a bit of a gypsy soul. She's always traveling around with the band she works with while living a nomad life and getting amazing views of the dumpsters near the tour buses parked behind the venues. So, if you can't get someone good to write your foreword, and they spend a paragraph explaining how to pronounce your name,
jeez,
nothing wants me to, I don't want to read anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
It's just crazy.
It's been keeping me occupied from the dumpster fire that is the rest of the world, so kudos to Lainey, Annie with an L.
Yeah. Do you have any bit of the actual book?
I do. Okay, chapter 0, The Fool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, I don't know why that's like... I mean, I know why it's so weird to me. I've never read a chapter 0 before.
I've always envied those with normal lives. I don't think I've ever had a normal month, a plain week, or an average day. Really, she got a thesaurus. At best, I've had a brief, normal moments here and there. They tend to be few and far between. I'm sure most people would envy me, but some days, I think I'd trade places in a heartbeat. With who? Who are you trading places with? To me, those moments of feeling normal or getting to do average things have always felt like a cool, sparse breeze on the hottest day of summer or the first breath you take after holding it underwater for as long as you can. Isn't it true we always want what we can't have? The grass is always greener, so to speak. Of course, if you really checked out the other side, you'd probably find out that the grass is astroturf, fake and brittle and lifeless. It sure is pretty from your side of the fence, though. I won't cover everything that has been crazy or unusual in my life. If I did, this would end up being a much larger book and would take entirely too long to read. She could have told me two interesting facts in those sentences instead of explaining that she would be writing too long. Instead, I'll start on the day I left home. It marked a turning point, a fork in the road, if you will. I knew I was choosing a path and hoped it was the right one. Either way, I knew that once I made my choice, that was it. I couldn't double back and try again. It was to be how it was to be.
Okay. That was rough.
Yeah. I mean, so like devil's advocate, because I try to keep an open mind. I try to, you know, see the other side of the story. It is a little rough. You know, openings to books can sometimes be that way. I know I've read books where it takes you 100 pages of like mediocrity, and then you get to the good stuff and you realize, hey, like that was actually worth it because this book is actually incredible, but they had to set up so much stuff. That being said, it is some weak writing. I would keep reading because I'm a completionist. If I pick up a book, I'm going to finish it, and you know, then I can decide how I feel about it. But if the entire book is like that, I can understand why people, the very few people who actually have a copy of this are, you know, they're not too happy with it, which is fair. What astounds me is just that this book felt so legit in the beginning, because like the Hollywood Reporter had like a press release, and Geek Nation is the publishing, let's see.
Yeah, so Geek Nation's publishing arm is
right. So the website, yeah, is Geek Nation, and they published it. Everything felt normal. I got like 3 emails about this book that I just never addressed because I was busy, or you know, didn't find it interesting or whatever. I remember seeing the cover, and then all of a sudden all of this blows up, and I'm like, Handbook for Mortals, I recognize that name. And I did a search through my emails, and lo and behold, there it is. And I don't understand how they thought that they could get away with this. The YA community is very tight-knit and very vocal and very active on social media. If someone does something shitty with a movie, for instance, like, yeah, people will talk about it for a little while, but you can kind of move on from that sometimes, because that world isn't as close and there's always something else kind of going on. YA community does not forget. Yeah. So I almost feel bad because I think that her career is over now, but then again, she made her bed, so I don't actually feel bad for her.
Yeah, I also think that this has made people aware of this whole buying strategy thing, and to know that like this isn't completely unheard of, that books have shown up on the New York Times list with that asterisk that says like, you know, it has been purchased in bulk quantities, like this has been done before. I think knowing what that all means now because of this will keep people from necessarily wanting to just pick up that book off the list. Like, you know what I mean? If you don't really know what that means and you see it on the list, like you may be interested, like, hey, you know, but knowing that it may not be there strictly because of its audience makes it just feels wrong.
Yeah. And I think that this was just like we were saying, you were saying actually, Karen, about the release strategy and building up hype. And I think it needed more time. Mm-hmm. Like I think everything was rushed, including the writing, and it probably could have, like you said, like I probably would have brushed past it if I had known that the rest of the YA community didn't rip it apart throughout the rest of it. You know what I mean? It's not, that was one page, but it's not gotten any good, nothing redeeming about it, basically. So, I mean, maybe with some more time, these things take time, and she doesn't seem like a person who takes time to do things the correct way, or, you know, just let it settle. She wants to get straight to the movie deal. That's what seems to be important. We don't know whether that's the main MO here, but you know, seems to be all where her mind is in getting the movie franchise rights.
Part of me wonders if it's like a publicity stunt. Mm. You know, like if this is a cover up, because it's so crazy. It's so out of left field. And I feel like, why would they even think that they could get away with this?
Right.
It's a half baked plan. And if you're going to do something like this, at least be smart about it. Like, at least be a better liar and a better thief and, you know, all of that. But I don't know. Maybe it'll turn out to be some crazy scheme and it'll be even more interesting. When's the last, like, when was the last bit of information dropped? Like, is this still ongoing? Are people still kind of uncovering what's been going on here?
Yeah, so this, when did this whole thing happen? Thursday? I think it was. Yeah, so Thursday, more, the Blues Traveler interview dropped Friday, and then the cover update dropped between Friday and Saturday. So yeah, it's now Sunday when we're recording this, so it's still ongoing a bit.
Well, maybe come Monday, you know, there'll be a statement or something, and we'll see what happens. But believe it or not, that's not the only crazy thing that's been going on.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening in this world? And, I mean, I've got some answers, but we try to keep that on there. but we also put up an article on Hypebull. This was a couple of days ago. And it's titled, Nook Press is Canceling Author Accounts that Publish Erotica / Romance. And it's exactly what it says. Nook, which is an extension of Barnes & Noble, updated its content policy. And it says that, you know, any of the following content will lead to accounts being terminated. And they talk about obscene or pornographic material, libelous material, infringing, illegal content or offensive material, material violating privacy, advertisements. And with the new content policy, they started to take down erotica and romance. It wasn't just straight up erotica. Some of it was like contemporary romance, so like YA stuff that high schoolers can read. And apparently, I'm assuming it's because it falls under the obscene or pornographic material headline in their new updated policy. But like, that's what erotica is. And erotica is a huge part of ebook sales. Romance is a huge part of ebook sales. Why the heck would they do this?
And they did it without informing these authors that their accounts would be terminated. Like, it would be one thing if they updated the content policy, made the authors aware that they were in violation of it, and allowed the authors to either remove the titles that, you know, were a part of it or any of that. They didn't do that. They just started canceling accounts and removing authors from their services. Like, it makes no sense. Like, why they wouldn't reach out to the authors that they were, you know, changing the rules on. The funny thing is that if you read through this list of things that are now illegal or offensive and, you know, obscene things that they're listing, there are a lot of regular fiction or fantasy titles that are in violation of this. Like Game of Thrones, anyone? Mm. There's no reason that Game of Thrones should be sold on Nook if they're going to live up to this content policy, because incest alone violates the policy. It's listed as one of the offensive material items. And so that's what, like, people got really offended and upset, rightfully so, because they're singling out erotica writers on this, and there's plenty of regular genre fiction and fantasy that that takes place, that uses a lot of the same, you know, material and offensive, you know, things to help tell their stories. So it just kind of came out of nowhere.
And the fact that erotica, I mean, romance in general, but erotica specifically has such a stigma, like, this isn't helping. And we've discussed at length on Book Hype that it's okay to like romance and it's okay to like erotica. It's fine. It's not a big deal. And if you don't want to read it, then don't read it. That's totally up to you. But there are people who really enjoy it. And they feel shame for that, because that's kind of the way that society has brainwashed so many people into thinking that this is bad and sex is bad and women shouldn't be reading this sort of thing because, you know, it's too scandalous for us, which is total crap. I did not want to say that. I wanted to say a much worse word, but it is. And the idea that they're taking all of these books down and canceling accounts, it just adds to that stigma. And that's really frustrating to me.
And a lot of authors had been looking into working with Nook to kind of remove themselves from the Amazon, like, Kindle Unlimited thing, which if you're a member of Kindle Unlimited, you know that, like, there's a whole stock of books that are free if you're a Kindle Unlimited member and all of that. Well, that whole process, like, that whole thing isn't necessarily useful to every author. Like, to newer authors and that, it can be really beneficial, but it's not a great system for every author. A lot of them had been looking into Nook and Barnes & Noble and were looking to kind of make inroads there and get out of the Kindle Unlimited thing. And then this happens, and, like, romance authors are like, well, thanks a lot. Like, I was trying to remove myself from this, you know, potentially painful and, you know, pain in the butt situation. And now, you know, Barnes & Noble is basically, and Nook more so than Barnes & Noble, are saying, like, we don't value you. Like, we're going to take your stuff down. Sorry. It's just, it's so, I was just shocked. I was like, come on, guys. Like, come on.
And I wonder how that affects their sales, how that affects their credibility. Because when you have an account somewhere, usually, I don't know exactly how it is. I'm thinking in terms of, like, eBay, when you sell stuff on eBay, if your account gets shut down, sometimes all of your stats start over from the beginning and you have to, like, rebuild that reputation. I would hope in this case, when their accounts get reactivated, that they don't have to start from scratch like that. But depending on how long their accounts are down, you know, several days of no sales could make or break somebody. And the fact that they're just canceling these authors' accounts willy-nilly is just, it blows my mind.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, boy. Well, we do have some good news. Do you guys want some good news now?
Yes.
Okay, great. This is actually weirdly related as well, because Handbook for Mortals, going up on the New York Times bestsellers list, was sharing a spot with The Hate U Give, which is by Angie Thomas. And she, this book has been kind of all over the place lately, which is really awesome. And it's getting a lot of really good reviews and a lot of great word of mouth. And there is going to be Brittany's favorite, a movie adaptation of it, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. And we just found out that Insecure star Issa Rae is going to be a part of the film. And if you know anything about Issa Rae, you know she is so cool. She started off as a vlogger, right? Like a YouTuber, and then ended up getting HBO deal?
Yeah, so her show Insecure is on HBO.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple episodes and they were really good. I have to finish out the season that I started. But she's just really funny. She writes, obviously, and her Insecure is like her thing, her passion project in a way. So her being able to join The Hate U Give is really exciting. And I just want to read really quickly what this book is about in case you guys haven't heard of it yet. But it says, adapted for the big screen by Audrey Wells, the coming-of-age drama centers around a 16-year-old girl named Star who grew up in a poverty-stricken neighborhood. Now that she's in high school, Star attends a suburban prep school located in a surrounding much different from the one she grew up in. Star's two worlds collide, however, when she witnesses a police officer shoot her unarmed best friend. So obviously super, super, super relevant to what's going on in the world today. And Amandla Stenberg, who's from The Hunger Games, she was in Everything, Everything. She's going to be in the upcoming adaptation of Darkest Minds. She is going to star in The Hate U Give, which is pretty cool. And I'm trying, who else is in this? Helmed by George Tillman Jr., The Hate U Give also stars Regina Hall, Russell Hornsby, Algie Smith?
Sure.
Sure. slightly unfortunate name, but cute. Lamar Johnson and Common. So it's got a pretty good cast, and lots of people are talking about the book. So, you know, the book, well marketed, well received, movie deal. Yes. Movie deal. There's going to be a fan base that's already going to make it to the movies. This is how you should do it.
Yeah.
Now, have either of you guys read The Hate U Give?
No, but I did order it, and it's on its way here.
Cool.
Yeah, I had the audiobook at one point, but it expired before I could get to it, and so I will be listening to that one.
Awesome. I have not touched it at all, but definitely interesting. And I mean, it's sad. Like, the premise of the book is very sad, but because of its relevance, I'm very interested in picking this up and seeing how it plays out. And the movie definitely has my attention. I love Amanda Stenberg. I think she's brilliant, both as an actress and as a human being. And Issa Rae is just so cool. So I'm definitely going to be interested in checking this out. Well, that was quite the foray into book news recently. Hopefully next time we do this, we have some better stuff. Although at least it wasn't all adaptation stuff this week, right?
I know, it was nice.
Exactly.
Nice break. Yeah, it was. All right. Well, I hope you guys have been liking the different things we've been doing with Book Hype lately. Hopefully we'll have some more interviews coming up. We also definitely want to get back into our book club books. And what we want to do next, actually, this was Brittany's brilliant idea. We want to do some summer reading books. And Brittany, you should just explain this because it'll sound much better coming from you.
Okay. I have a middle school aged niece and who never does her summer reading on time. And so it got me thinking, what if we revisited some book lists of today? Because I don't know what is required reading anymore. It was always like the same four books every year in my school for, like, you know, you knew what book you were getting the next year for the summer. So just to pull up some middle school summer reading books and take a pick, because they're usually like 200 pages and the words are in like 18-point font. So, you know, you can flip through it in like maybe 2 hours at most. So it's not any heavy lifting whatsoever. I just, you know, it's back to school time, at least for me. It doesn't start around here until Labor Day. So we have like a week left of summer around here, and some other states are already back to school, but those projects are coming and all sorts of stuff. So just getting back into the fear of going into 6th, 7th, or 8th grade. That's where I want my anxiety riddled mind to be.
Okay. Yes. Absolutely. Goodness. So that should be pretty fun. And then we will get back on track for September and pick something out instead of trying to do it last minute. Sorry, I singled you out there, Brittany.
I suggested this in the group 2 weeks ago. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. Well, I meant like
not
also
picking
didn't. Didn't I do it in front of the authors too?
Yep. Yeah, it was great. It was, she's really, really a great friend.
I'm so sorry. You can punish me later when I see you, hopefully in like a month.
Yes.
I dropped that one on Brittany today too. Hey, by the way, I'll be in New York City in like a month. Yay. Crap. Now I have to go see Karen again. So dumb.
She can read through what I write in the Facebook Messenger.
And Kristen's just like, yeah, take her.
Fine, guys.
Be gone. All right, let's kick this off before it devolves. Kristen and I have to go watch Game of Thrones now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go turn off my computer and cell phone because Game of Thrones doesn't matter to me, and that's all it's going to be talked about, so there's nothing happening.
That's true. We bought alcohol for the occasion.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm sure you're going to need it from what I hear from not watching Game of Thrones. I apparently know a lot about it.
Yeah. Last week was really stressful. Like, yeah. There's a couple of characters I really didn't think were going to make it, And then, oh man, it was, it gave me Walking Dead flashbacks. I get really stressed over The Walking Dead too.
Yeah. And there's one fan theory that I really want to see come to fruition, and I'm crossing my fingers that it does tonight. We'll see.
We'll see. All right, guys, before this now devolves into Game of Thrones podcast, we have one of those. Thank you for tuning in. Please, as always, give us some suggestions about what you would like to hear us discuss. Maybe some, I don't know, give us some authors you'd like us to get on here. We'll see what we can do. Can't promise, like, you know, J.K. Rowling or George R.R. Martin or anything like that, but we could maybe get some other ones. See what happens. Try our luck. And if you have any suggestions for upcoming books you would like us to discuss for book club, please also let us know. Best place to probably get in touch with us will be at Book Hype on Twitter. So thank you so much. And until next time, I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Brittany.
Bye.
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 It's... Sorry. Oh my god. Shut up. It won't turn off.
Phone. Projector. Makeup party. Buy the new Motor Zing Shadow Shield and you'll get a free
projector. Okay, I'm going to take a large sip of water now.
I don't know.
Okay.
That was.
Wow. I was playing Words with Friends, and when your phone's on silent, the ads aren't supposed to play out loud, but apparently that is a lie.